This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, and welcome to another edition of Creative Impact. Every Tuesday, we get together with Deb Pollock from the Arts Alliance. She is the president and CEO, and the Arts Alliance serves as our content partner as we explore the creative industries in Washtenaw County and its impact on our lives. Now, it can be very serious, and it can be very fun, and sometimes it's a bit of both. It's good to see you again, Deb.
Hey, David, it's always good to be with you, but can you hold on a second? I'm just about finished here, and maybe you can help. I need a two-word title for someone who puts a bunch of clues and matching answers together into a black and white grid.
What are you doing on my time?
Well, listen, it's a two-word answer, 20 letters together, 9 letters for that first word.
Is this like a quiz? You've got me stumped. I have no idea. Maybe you should phone a friend.
Well, maybe we've got our friend right here in the studio, Peter Collins. Pete, you know, do you know the answer to my clue?
Well, Deb, would a crossword constructor fit?
Yeah, I think that's it.
That's
perfect.
Worked. If you do not know, that is Peter Collins, and he has had well over 100 crossword puzzles put in the New York Times, and additionally, he has been a participant on Will Shortz's Sunday Puzzle on Weekend Edition Sunday.
Yeah, so Peter, welcome to the show. We're really glad that you're here. Peter holds a master's degree in mathematics from EMU here, and he's also a teacher in the math department chair at Huron High. And as David mentioned, you're one of those people in our community that's also nationally recognized by a creative sector, you know, as that puzzle maker, which is so cool about our community.
Yeah, well, thanks, Deb. It's good to be here, and everything you said is true.
I want to step back for just a moment. If I recall correct, Peter, in fact, your start in puzzle making has a direct connection to WEMU, right?
It does. I have WEMU to thank for that. If listeners have heard Will Shortz, the editor of the New York Times Crossword Puzzle, does a show on Sunday mornings, just a quick 5-minute quiz show where he asks a question and listeners try to solve it and submit their answer, and then he picks one lucky winner to play on air with him. Well, back in the mid-90s, I was one of those lucky people who got my This is back in the postcard days.
Oh, yeah, the postcard sent him in.
Right. I got selected to play on air with Will, and I had a blast.
And Leanne Hansen.
And then shortly after that, Leanne and Will went on this barnstorming tour across the country where people donated to their local NPR affiliate a certain amount of money. You got to come and meet Will and
And they came Leanne. Here to Eastern.
And they came. I think I want to say it was at the Arc, but it was somewhere in the area here.
Yeah.
And my wife and I went, and I sheepishly approached Will and introduced myself and said, hey, you know, nice to meet you. I played on the air with you a little while ago, but I have this puzzle idea for you to use on the air in the Weekend Edition episode. And I thought he would just politely take it and stuff it in a pocket and forget about it. But he actually took it out and read it right in front of me. And he said, you know, this is good. I think I'm going to use it. So that was my start in puzzle making long before I constructed a crossword puzzle.
Were you always into crossword puzzles? Is that something you did as a kid or with your family or with one of your parents?
A little bit, yeah, but never very seriously. Just growing up, my dad would do them occasionally. I had an uncle who was really into them, and I didn't really catch fire, I guess, until I was teaching it here in high school, and a couple of guys were pretty avid crossword puzzle doers, and so I caught the bug from them and eventually started doing them daily.
So I want to jump back to the Will Shortz thing. So what was that first question, that first clue?
Well, the question that I asked on the air?
Yeah.
It was using only the odd numbered letters of the alphabet. So A, and then you skip B, C, E. I can't go beyond that. But anyway, using only the odd numbered letters of the alphabet, you had to spell the name of an 11-letter fictional character known worldwide.
I think I could spend months and not come up with the right answer.
Yeah. And it is.
And, okay, spoiler alert if you want to turn your radio off for a second and think about it later, but the answer was Mickey Mouse.
I would have never gotten that, Deb. Yeah. Were you on track?
No, I knew it exactly right away.
Well, allow me for a moment to play the part of Will Shortz and let me issue you this, and this is for the both of you. I would like you to think of a two-word phrase a child might shout when walking in the front door, rearrange the letters, and add an E at the end. And you get the next two words the child might shout. These are both common expressions. Tell me what they are.
I think I have an unfair advantage on this one.
I'm thinking like I'm home, but okay. So and I can't do it. I can't mix it up. I have to write letters down.
Yeah.
So what's the answer?
You're half right. Go ahead.
Hi, Mom. I'm home.
Oh, that's exactly right. I'm home. Okay,
that was
there you
one
go.
Of the challenges that Peter put forth for the Sunday puzzle as part of Weekend Edition Sunday back on May 20th of 2018. I thought you might recognize it, but then again, I thought you might also forget it too. You are listening to Creative Impact on 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair with my co-host Deb Pollack, and we're talking with Peter Collins, a crossword puzzle maker and local teacher who's had around 200 crosswords published in major publications, over 100 in the New York Times, and obviously a participant with Will Shorts on Weekend Edition Sunday.
So how did you go from that first little quiz with Will Shorts to actually creating crossword puzzles?
Well, I started doing crossword puzzles on eventually worked my way up to doing them daily, and I just, at some point, the switch flipped, and I thought, these are fun to do, but I wonder if I could make one. And oh my goodness, I sat down with, graph paper, a pencil, a big eraser, and a dictionary.
A big eraser.
And I went at it. I didn't have any, nowadays, if somebody gets into crossword puzzle construction, they almost always have a mentor. And I had no mentor. I was just completely self-taught. And it was a struggle. And I think my wife, Mary, thought I'd lost my marbles, But I felt this draw to do it. And eventually I produced some puzzles, which in retrospect were pretty horrible. And I sent them in to Will Shorts. And I used that little Weekend Edition episode to try to kick the door open a little
right.
bit, say, hey, maybe you remember me. I'm the guy who, blah, blah, blah. But he very politely, after my first submission, emailed me back and said, well, this is really not very good. And he gave me a laundry list of reasons why that was. And
That had to be valuable.
Yeah, it was. But he gave me some encouragement. He said, there was something, stick with it. There's something there that I think I like, in what you've been doing. So I stuck with it, and eventually I did get one puzzle published, and I've just taken off from there.
Has the advent of technology changed the way you go about the construction of these crossword puzzles?
Yes, I put away the graph paper and the big eraser, and I do everything online now, and there are lots of online resources that help, and also just constructing the puzzle in a nice, beautiful form. There's software out there that helps you do that, so you don't have to just scribble on graph paper and send it in.
So where do you start? I mean, oftentimes puzzles have themes mm-hmm. and...
Yeah, that's right, Deb. They usually Monday through Thursday have themes, and then I'll talk about the New York Times, and the other publications are pretty similar. And then Friday and Saturday are harder, and they're themeless usually. And then the Sunday puzzle has a theme, and but it's bigger. So Monday's the easiest puzzle. Saturday's the hardest. Sunday's kind of midweek difficulty. It's big grid. It's a 21 by 21 rather than 15 by 15.
I can't finish any of them.
Yeah. And certainly not in ink, right?
Exactly right.
Well, it's almost like a language that you learn. The more you do them, you learn the little tricks and the little words.
And there's those words with all with all the vowels
in
them.
Yes.
And Deb just mentioned something. The true aficionados, they really do them in ink, right? I mean, if you do it in pencil, you're cheating.
Well, now Will Shorts about cheating. He says it's your puzzle. You can do it however you want, David. If you want to look things up, if you want to Google things, that's perfectly fine. So I'll absolve you of any guilt you have using a pencil or using Google.
Let me ask you this. You're a math teacher. What is the connection between math and crossword puzzles?
That's an excellent question, because a disproportionate number of constructors are math people and music people. And
math is music for sure.
Yeah, I haven't heard a definitive answer, but maybe it's the way that we can see things in patterns or the way we process information in blocks. I don't know what it is, but a lot of the constructors are math or science people, or you'd think it would be more literature and history or something like that, but really, it isn't.
So with your students, do you use crossword puzzles with your students?
Well, when I get one published, I always make them available to my students, and I've got, I always get a few very avid students, and some take them home. Like David said, everybody's got a grandmother or an uncle or somebody who does crossword
right.
puzzles, and they'll take them home. But I do have the honor of having a student a few years ago, about 8 years ago, a female student. I had her as a sophomore, then as a senior, and she really showed interest in crossword puzzles. And I worked with her, and she got a puzzle published in the New York Times.
Oh, wow.
She still is the youngest female to have a puzzle in the New
her.
York Times.
Yeah, that is fantastic. Yeah, yeah. Any chance that any of the kids get extra credit in your class if they can actually complete it?
David, you ask the same questions they ask. But there are too many outlets online that have the answers, so I can't go down that.
Do you have a new one coming up anytime soon?
I have some that are kind of in the queue waiting to be published, and I usually don't find out until like a week or two in advance. And right now I don't know of any, but again, I hope to have maybe one or two more before the end of the year.
And one final question.
Sure, sir.
Have you come across a crossword puzzle you could not finish?
Oh, yeah. It still happens. Like Saturday New York Times, often I can get almost all of it, and they'll just be like one little corner or something that stumps me.
I only asked because I needed to make myself feel better.
There you go.
Well, this is great. We'll have some of those puzzles that you've done up on the line with this show. And so, again, thanks so much for coming in and sharing this with us. And we wish you the best of luck, and we'll look forward to seeing more than 400 of your puzzles up there online.
Well, thank you, David and Deb. It was a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much. That is Peter Collins, a crossword puzzle maker and local teacher who has around 200 crosswords published in a major publication so far, over 100 in the New York Times. You've heard him on the Weekend Edition Sunday Puzzle with Puzzle Master Will Shorts. Deb Pollack, thank you for setting up this interview, and I will look forward to the next one next week.
Absolutely. We'll be back with someone else who's as creative.
Deb Pollack is the president and CEO of the Arts Alliance, our content partner for Creative Impact each Tuesday. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.